Bandserben über Pop, Kunst und den Sinn des Lebens.
Herzlich willkommen, liebe Zuhörenden von Cobains Erben. Schön, dass ihr dabei seid. Es ist die erste Folge des neuen Jahres 2025. Es ist eine ganz besondere Folge, weil sie nämlich ohne Jay stattfindet. Der ist noch im Urlaub. Jetzt, wenn ihr das hört, wenn es jetzt rauskommt, ist bei euch der 20. Januar. Jetzt, wo ich hier ins Mikrofon spreche, ist heute der 10. Januar und der Jay ist noch im Skiurlaub und ärgert sich, weil ich nämlich ganz alleine mit Heidi Dubert sprechen darf heute. Wir sitzen hier in dem Studio von Jörg Steinmetz, den kennt ihr schon, denn wir haben ja mit Jörg auch eine Folge aufgenommen über seine Fotografie. Und jetzt bin ich wieder hier in Frankfurt und die Heidi ist auch gerade hier. You will be doing photos, right, for your record? Or you did, you already did.
Yes.
You had a photo shooting.
Yes, we did, actually already end of last year. So we're just finalizing the album artwork, CD and vinyl artwork, all the little details. That's what I'm doing here.
Yeah, great. Somebody was knocking on the door right now. Der Postbote.
UPS.
Yeah.
Hi, UPS.
Post.
He's picking up the post, ladies and gentlemen.
Sorry, das war der Postbote. Also, was ich euch sagen wollte, liebe Zuhörende, war ein frohes neues Jahr. Alles Gute für 2025. Es wird ein bestimmt ganz schön spannendes Jahr werden. Nicht nur für Heidi mit ihrem neuen Album, sondern für uns alle, ihr wisst, dass wir auf neue Wahlen in Deutschland zugehen, ihr wisst, dass Amerika eine neue Administration hat und so weiter und so fort. Es wird bestimmt ein interessantes und vielleicht manchmal auch gar nicht so schönes Jahr, aber wir machen einfach weiter. Wir machen einfach die guten Dinge weiter, die wir bisher getan haben. Heidi, great to have you on this show. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, danke schön. Thank you for having me. Thank you for taking the time to be here.
Yes.
Yeah.
We will be doing this talk in English, but you understand German as well.
Mm-hmm.
Und ihr, liebe Zuhörenden, könnt hoffentlich ein bisschen Englisch. Ihr müsst da jetzt einfach ein bisschen durch. Normally, this is a German podcast, of course, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
Welcome.
Sometimes we do it in English as well.
It's going to be fine. And I understand, of course, German.
Okay.
So feel free to speak to me.
Okay.
However you wish, my good sir.
Yesterday, I spent several hours on your Instagram channel.
Mm.
And it was really great. I had a great time. Because there's lots of great content.
Yeah, okay.
Really.
Yeah.
Really good music, of course.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Then there's behind-the-scenes footage, you playing the percussions for Marius Müller-Westernhagen on stage.
Yeah.
In front of thousands of enthusiastic people.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is really great to see. Then there's exclusive sneak peeks into your everyday life. You in Rome, in Frankfurt, in Berlin, in the US somewhere, in the studio with your band. And the most marvelous thing is watching you sing, actually.
Thank you.
Because you are a force of nature, Heidi.
Thank
really.
You.
I was really impressed, really. And I'm really glad that you're here. Now, tell us again, you are now in Frankfurt because you are working with Jörg right now.
Yeah, yeah. Jörg is working on the album artwork. He's really been directing the kind of concept of the visual side of bringing the music into a visual sense through photos, through the album artwork. We've done an extensive, incredible photo shoot.
You did?
Yes, we did 2 full days and we decided to do 12 different locations for 12 different songs, which now ends up being 10. So
okay.
10 different songs, 10 different shoots, different outfits, different vibes, different locations. I don't want to give too much away, but it was so amazing to dive into... every single song that has its own character, its own personality, its own story almost, not almost, completely actually. And Jörg completely understood that. without me needing to tell him that. And it's been incredible to work with him. So, yeah, and he, of course, he's just an amazing artist. He knows what he's doing. He's very, very, very diligent, high attention to the smallest details, which sets him apart, which sets any great artist apart. So I learn much from him, and it's amazing to be working with him on this project. He's just taken a huge load off of my back by helping me. Yeah.
How do you know each other?
Yeah, again, this is such a divine, divinely ordained connection. This is what I call it. Like, really, I know God has sent him my way for this time, and I'm hoping for a long time in the future. He actually saw me live on stage with Marius Müller-Westernhagen on his tour. Marius's tour last year, 75 live tour, and he wrote me a letter, an email.
Jörg just wrote to you.
Yeah, and he said that
just like that.
Yeah, I didn't know anything. He said he got my contact from somebody, and he was right in the back of the room, and he could feel my energy fill the entire space.
Wow.
And something about the spirit that I carry, the same spirit as his, which of course really hit me as well. And since then we've been talking, and he came to take a few photos of me on one of the other show days. And then we started talking about, you know, me and what I'm doing, and that I'm about to record my album. I'm planning to do that. That was before I even went to record in the US. So it's a long story. Mm-hmm. And then Jörg was mentioning that maybe he's interested in doing the album photo artwork, and I was of course very interested in that because of the way that he wrote to me that first time.
Okay, so you just said before we press the record button that you get to know somebody just by speaking to him, just you know, by conversing with him, like that, right? You spoke to each other, and so there was some sense of I don't know.
Yeah, like you're just connected.
It's connection.
Like it's, like a magic. But of course, we believe in
spiritual.
Yeah, spiritual divine connections of people that have been really preordained and predestined to be aligned with your destiny and your path. You know, I don't know how much of it is in your control and not. I suppose that's still the mystery of life. But I do believe there are things that just, where you cross the path with certain people that changes your life, major events. And this moment of my life with being on tour with Marius, meeting a Jörg to do the album artwork, and also the band who recorded my album, which happens to be a big part of the guys were, the guys that recorded my album are the same band of Marius Müller-Westernhagen from the US.
Wow.
Top superstar, legend session musicians from the US who are on my album, who recorded with me.
Those are the guys we can see on the Instagram account sometimes. David Palau.
David Palau is another amazing...
Another one.
Amazing superstar who I'm hoping to do a big project with this year as well in connection with my album.
Yeah.
David Palau is from Spain, but these guys are... That's Jack Daly. So he was 16 years working with Lenny Kravitz as his bassist.
Wow.
And Aaron Comis, who is a legendary drummer. Big shout out to Aaron, Andy Burton, Andrew Carrillo. These guys are just like, I mean, they've played on almost every single, not every single album, but on an album of almost everyone you can just imagine that's superstars in the US. So these guys are really on the top of their game, but so humble, so amazing. They understand what it means to serve the song, the music, and particularly the song. You know, and it's not about ego or being this fantastic player, but the highest level they could do is to serve the music that they're busy recording.
And they will be playing on your debut album.
They already played on my debut album.
They already did that.
Yes.
I mean, this is...
It's amazing.
It's really crazy.
Really, it's...
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Wow.
That again, is like another open door. The fact that I got on the tour with Marius, that they... Out of the blue, they wrote to me. I didn't even know about Marius. Almost a year ago, I didn't know who this person was. I wasn't aware of him. And so again, that was just sent to me in a way that where I wasn't even looking for it.
This story I want to hear later.
Okay.
I'm really interested in that. I wrote that down actually as a question. But before that, if I would ask you, tell me a little bit about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
What few informations or many information about you would you share? Who are you, Heidi?
Who am I?
In case somebody doesn't know you.
Who am I? That's a very broad question. I mean, I like avocado. I love a good old steak. definitely not vegetarian, even though some people think so. Okay, don't unfollow me. a little bit more serious things. So I was born in South Africa.
Yeah,
I was born
Pretoria,
in South Africa,
right?
In Pretoria. Yeah. Yeah. And I grew up there, and at about 17 years old, I moved to London. I immigrated with my parents,
mm-hmm.
so just 1 week shy of 18. So just so I could actually, you know, just the right time that I could come with them to Europe, which now is not Europe anymore. But
okay, yes,
as a dependent.
Yeah.
And then I was in London for 15 years, and then
so it would have been more problematic if you haven't been would have been 18 already.
Yes, or? Because then a little difficult to get permission to be permanently resident.
Yes.
In Europe at that
right.
stage, in UK. Now it's UK and Brexit, but it would still be difficult.
Mm-hmm,
You could come for a 2-year working holiday.
Yeah.
Once you're an adult.
Yeah.
But if you're a kid and your parents move over and they have a way to get into which is how I got through, like, over to the UK, to London.
Was that a very hard cultural break for you to come over from South Africa to Europe? Was it totally different, a totally different kind of life
was,
in England? Or?
I mean, yes, it completely was. But I was very happy with it. I've always been someone who's very adventurous. I love the new. I'm always open for... I tend to think that I'm pretty good at being adaptable.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there was a big difference in terms of specifically living situation. So, you know, if you're used to South Africa, the living standard is pretty high for some people. And in this case, we were extremely blessed to have a great, beautiful double-story house with a swimming pool. You know, here in Europe, that's like you're like some kind of, you know, very high up person to have that.
Yeah.
In South Africa, of course, you're also actually very high up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because there's a lot of poverty.
Hmm.
But, you know, big garden, space, nature, more suburban living. And then moving to London, where at that stage my parents didn't have, they literally just gave everything up to go to London.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, and live in a tiny apartment in London. You're suddenly in a big city.
Oh, wow.
With not really a garden, and you take in public transport, something that also is not and hasn't been very common in the culture in South Africa.
This must be been hard, especially on your parents, I guess.
Yeah, they're also crazy adventurers, I've got to tell you. So, I mean, they wouldn't have done that if they didn't want that, because they didn't have to. That was their choice.
Okay.
They chose that particularly, that road, yeah. Yeah.
Great. So you went to London, and then all of a sudden you became a musician.
No.
No.
I mean, I've always been a musician, if you want to put it in that. I mean, I don't remember a time I didn't sing.
Yeah.
There isn't a moment in my memory where I didn't sing. So music was always
totally believe that
really in my life.
Yeah,
my mom's pianist.
Mm-hmm.
She's a great pianist. So of course I grew up with my mom practicing classical pieces while I'm playing Legos with my brothers.
Yeah,
and you know, I would be playing on the piano. So I grew up in a musical home, and we spent a lot of time going to church meetings where there was always, of course, a lot of music and a lot of worship. So music's always been a part of my life, and I've always made music. I always knew that I know that sounds very serious, but I always knew I have to make music. But when I went to London, before I left South Africa, I did finish normal school. I finished like a kind of rock school high school.
Did you say rock school?
Yeah, kind of like rock school.
Really?
Yeah, it's kind of like a
rock
school.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, it's a thing. It's crazy. And my parents are amazing that they actually were so free in their minds to let me do that.
Huh.
Where instead of finishing your normal school, your last 3 years of high school, I went to a music school, which was a contemporary music school. Kind of like rock school, think Jack Black stuff.
Right. Yes.
So you learn on your instrument, you learn theory, harmony, you have some band ensemble classes. And I was already, you know, getting into, of course, I always took music lessons. Even at six, I had my first piano lessons from my parents.
Yeah.
And when I went to London, of course, I was very happy to go to London with my parents. For me, it wasn't even a question.
Mm-hmm.
I always knew I'm supposed to be in the international picture, not South Africa. For me, it was too, I always knew, no, this is too small.
Okay, yeah, I get it, yeah.
You can go up to the top in South Africa, but that's it. There's not necessarily always, but yeah. So I moved to London and I thought I would continue my studies on a more serious level, going to the Guildhall Jazz Music School, which is really high level. In London.
Wow.
I wanted to go study after music some jazz in a university, so higher level than, okay, the contemporary thing is great.
Yeah.
But my parents didn't have any finances for that because also of the move and the change in their life and their lifestyle. And so instead of being able to go study, I had to kind of also be able to support myself and help also a bit the family.
Yeah.
And that's also because of the decision of my parents, what they decided, why they moved to London.
Yeah, okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. Completely different lifestyle. They're crazy, but I love them for it. And so I wasn't allowed to work legally.
Yeah.
So what I did is I started to play music on the street to make money.
Wow.
Because you can do that. Like you can go and put out a little case and go play on the street and take home some cash.
Yes.
And I did that.
But it takes courage to do that.
Man, you will not believe it was one of the most. I'm not a person who's afraid.
Yeah.
And I was the first time I had to go play on the street, I was terrified.
I believe that.
But I tell you what, it was the best university I could ever have attended.
Mm.
You learn hands-on, you're practicing all day.
Mm.
It's real life experience.
Mm-hmm.
You are I work with a lot of musicians that went to study very high level degrees that I call and I pay them to play my own songs.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's that was a pathway of pioneering, of, you know, taking the risk and learning that, to really be, in my terms, getting onto the road where you want to go, it's an unpaved road. You've got to be brave enough to take the risk. And so this playing on the street really taught me that.
Mm.
Yeah, and not walk the path of everyone else in a university, get a degree where thousands of other people have done exactly the same thing you've done in the same way, and they're all trained in this way. It's like, okay, great, but where's the originality in that path? And I'm not putting that down. I think there's a lot of usefulness.
I know what you mean,
it.
but it's a certain formation, actually, character. Or maybe spiritual formation that you are experiencing because you go your own way then, right?
Yes.
Pioneering your own path.
Yes, exactly. And you really learn how to not just play, because you play a lot. You play hours, and every single day, all day playing on the street is hours of performing.
Yeah.
You don't realize it. So you're not just playing for hours, but you're also performing. It becomes so natural.
Mm-hmm.
How you interact with the audience also on a street level is not the same as on a stage.
Yeah.
You really have to learn, how do I catch my crowd? Yeah. How do I keep them? And when is the moment to stop to sell them the CD?
Right.
So you learn about business.
Yeah.
You learn how to read the crowd. You go through difficult periods too. So you have always some trouble. There's maybe some crazy person on the street who's a little bit off their head on heroin, who steals all your money, and you learn how to recognize when something isn't quite on, when something is on.
Mm.
It's really, and play in the cold, you learn to be a soldier, man. It's so good. Yeah. All the while you're developing your own music and getting paid for it. I mean, it's great.
I really have to say, I watched you performing. And then I thought, she's not performing at all. She just is. You just are on stage.
that's great. I mean, that's my greatest desire, is that I can really be completely myself.
Totally what I felt. You're not even using yourself as an musical instrument or whatever. I thought you would, this is just you, bodily and spiritually, the person that you are when you do your music. So I couldn't call that performance, really. And now that you tell me how you learned that on the street, I totally get that.
Yeah, you just get used to just being yourself on the street.
Yeah.
And I suppose it's also got something to do with your character. Being someone who really, one of my strongest desires is to be true.
Yeah.
Authenticity, to be authentic.
Yeah.
And that's really my challenge. Can I be myself completely naked and vulnerable? Mm-hmm. And I don't necessarily mean in a physical sense, but on the stage where I can
in front
open
of
my heart people, in front of people looking at me without even... with getting to the point that you don't even, you're not even aware that people are looking at you.
Right.
They just get to witness your process.
That is so hard. I mean, you know.
Yes.
I did some music a few years ago, you know. I wrote songs and I performed them with a band. And I'm used to being on stage talking. It's not a problem at all for me. But singing my songs was a totally different matter, and it was so hard for me. I was performing then. I would say I was putting on a role, just, you know, get through it nicely without accidents, you know.
Yeah.
But what I see when I watch you singing is a totally different matter. You really, what you just said, it's total authentic, and even your movements, that it's a kind of dance, but it's not only. It's not just like dancing. You just move naturally to that. What you do, right?
Yes, I do. Thank you. That's a really great compliment.
It's really cool.
I mean,
it blows me away.
Thank you. I would like to get better on it. I don't think I've reached where I'd like to be, but this is confirming that I'm on the right road. So thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that means a lot.
Oh, good. So now you're working, or you worked on your debut album, but you are, as a musician, you are around for quite a while, actually. Yeah. And now your debut album. Is this the right moment for it? Or,
yes, of course.
Why not earlier?
That's good. Actually, it's strange to call it the debut album, because I have released some albums, again, not like officially under any labels or anything, mm-hmm. but during my period of playing on the street, I recorded a number of albums to sell, and I had an original band that I ran with.
Your own music?
Yeah, very original.
Yeah.
Which was developed actually through this playing on the street. Okay. I used to play with a guitarist as well, so we had a band together. We had a very long relationship as well together for 10 years. So we were together. Mm-hmm. And we built up this original band, a fusion of flamenco, jazz, funk. It was really original. And we recorded a number of albums, actually, and sold quite a bit of CDs, mostly off the record, because it was at concerts or on the streets. So it was physical and it was... cash to cash. I mean, we made some sales online, but it was still pretty much, you know, just in person, really in person. So it's not my first album that I produced or anything like that. I've written songs, again, since I was very, very young. So the not just singing, but the songwriting, the creating of my own songs, it's goes hand in hand with who I am. Very important. But I threw all of my songwriting into this project for that 10-year period, and that blew up, not in a good way. It completely disintegrated and destroyed, along with the relationship, the band, the everything.
Yeah.
This 10-year project I've been working on.
Yeah.
And it took me quite a while to get back from that.
You must have been very traumatic.
It was. It took me a long time to get over.
Yeah.
And now is the period that the restoration starts to happen. So now it's really starting over in a way. Okay. God restores to me everything.
It's a kind of new period you are entering into right now.
Yeah. So this is really my debut album as a songwriter, singer, and a solo composer. Mm-hmm. But I was for 10 years in a band that I ran with someone else. So that's why I would call it my debut, because it's my first album where I'm really taking the authority that God has given me, where I feel with my voice, with my songs, without taking it through someone else's filter or being under someone else's vision, but really, okay, what do I feel I want to put on this album? I choose that. Okay. How do I want to produce this? So, yeah, it's not the first album, but it is the first album solo. Yes. Which isn't solo, of course, it's with a band, but it's my music solo. Yeah.
Would you care to label your music?
No, not at all.
Nobody likes it, right?
Like a label at all. And if you heard the album, you would completely understand why.
Yeah.
So, no, I would definitely not label it.
Okay. So, we won't do that right now.
No. But I love all styles.
Okay.
Again, for me, it's like we put things in styles and boxes, but good music is good music. So for 10 years, like I said, I had this project where we were doing really world, flamenco, Spanish vibes of music, very acoustic, world music, really Latin-y, also a bit of Latin vibes, jazz vibes.
Right.
And then this album is more going back to, I suppose you could say a bit more towards the American style. So you've got your blues, your R&B, your soul, your funk and rock feeling to it. Course, always with a touch of jazz and world music coming in. So at the moment, that's what I'm busy with. And I would love to do an album in every style that I possibly can imagine.
Mm-hmm. On Instagram, we can see you performing Wake Me Up When It's Over. That's one of the songs, right, on the album?
Yes, Wake Me Up.
Wake Me Up.
Mm-hmm.
Wake Me Up.
Mm-hmm.
And in another reel, there's you and the band together in the studio listening to the recording. And you rocking along to that?
Yes, I know exactly which one you're talking about.
And right at the end of the clip, you can be heard saying, "That's a hit."
Yeah.
And it is,
it
I agree.
Is. It is
a hit.
Without a doubt.
What is this song about? Would you like to tell
about
that?
Yeah, we just came off of that subject. It was a song that was written towards the end of this long 10-year period where things had changed. You know, I went from South Africa, pretty happy household, over to London, and pretty quickly jumped into this relationship and this band that we built together. Mm. And it became my whole life. And then it kind of got destroyed. And Wake Me Up When It's Over. After that, there was a period of me traveling a lot. I was working with Roland, and I had also my YouTube channel. There was a lot of things going on at that stage, and I was really just feeling broken. Mm. And so it was really just about, I'm not so sure about the situation that I'm in right now, but I know where I'm supposed to go. So wake me up when it's over. It's really a statement of hope and faith that, this is a really shitty vibe I'm in right now. I'm not sure what I'm doing. I'm not sure what's going on. But I know that I will wake up, you know, that you will wake me up. God will wake me up when it's over.
Yeah.
That's.
And it's not whimsical or it's a very powerful song, you know, very straightforward in a way.
Yeah.
Danceable very much.
Pretty soul, right?
I would. Totally. Yes. Really great.
Thank you.
One song which is not going to be on the album is Somewhere in the Darkness.
Mm, beautiful.
Yeah. There's a clip you playing on the Fender Rhodes, I believe, right?
Mm, yes.
In a jazz club somewhere in Germany. I don't know where.
Yes, very underground jazz club.
Very underground.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a easy atmosphere. You are joking a little bit in between, but still, one can feel that you really mean it. This song really means a lot to you.
Mm.
After I've seen that, I saw the reel where you talk about this snakeskin cowboy boots. how God provided you with cowboy boots of snakeskin. And there you said that there has been a dark period in your life.
Hmm.
You just mentioned it very quickly, but I guess this might be the story you just told.
Yeah. And then the whole album is about this. A lot of my songs are about this.
Okay, yeah.
Overcoming this dark period.
This is this is where good art comes from, right?
Yes.
I mean, this is what I do as an artist.
Yeah.
It's a shitty situation, but still it's very good material to work with.
It's great.
Right?
And it pushes you. I mean, that's
totally
where you grow your faith.
Yeah. Yeah, that as well. Yeah.
And that's where you get your songs to, because you feel like shit and there's nowhere else to go.
Absolutely.
But to express it through, but always with the important that it's not always like, oh, everything is crap and I'm going to die and it's all gone. It's like, kind of like the Psalms, like David also did a lot of this, like, oh yeah, this is so shit. I'm in a really bad situation, but God, he will avenge me. He will take my feet out of the net or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Great songwriter, by the way, as well.
Yeah. So after the video with the snakeskin boots, I went back to Somewhere in the Darkness because I thought, ah, I guess I have to watch it again. And then I thought, I think I can understand you now a little bit better performing the song. And then I thought, making music, I mean, obviously is a very spiritual thing for you as well, right? It's not just performing music, it's something spiritual. Is that right?
Of course, absolutely. I mean, it's not performing at all.
Yeah.
It
no,
is.
It is.
But it's a spiritual language. That's it.
This particular song is a very it's a gospel song.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Obviously. Right?
So there's the connection very, very clearly. Yeah. You would say that's a spiritual thing for you.
Yeah, I think that's the first song I wrote in Germany. I just got out of rehab for 6 months, a Christian rehab actually that I went to in Deutschland, and I wrote the song.
this song, Somewhere.
Somewhere in the Darkness was written, yes, in Deutschland, actually.
Okay.
Pretty much exactly 2020, 5 years ago.
Oh, really?
Exactly at this period of time.
2020.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. It's the first track. I got out of rehab. I was at a friend's house in Deutschland.
Yeah.
And I think it was a day or two. I was alone in his house. He wasn't at home. And I went to his very beautiful big piano, and this song came out of me.
Wow. And Jay was listening to this, and he texted me, I cannot listen to any other song of Heidi because that maybe it would just, you know, blow it away after that. I have to stick to the impression I had watching this video.
I really wanted it on the album. We didn't have enough time in the recording process for me to have an hour or two to record this one,
okay,
just with the piano. But I will be recording it. I mean, it should have been on the album, but it's not, so it shouldn't have been.
Yeah.
So I'll release it as a single.
Okay.
Probably this year. It will definitely be on my shows, because I'm doing some album launch shows. Mm-hmm. So again, in that same club, I will be playing on the 11th of March with my new band. The whole new album, but Somewhere in the Darkness, is going with me on all of my stages, even if it's not on the album.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where is this club? Where you?
It's called the Red Horn District. It is super. I mean,
what town is it?
But it's in the middle of nowhere.
Okay, really?
It's really in the middle of nowhere. It's like a bunch of like super awesome music lovers, older hippie gentlemen that put the club together in the middle of nowhere.
Wow.
And it's like a house with couches and they've got a stage, and you don't really know about it unless you know about it. It's one of these for like the jazz aficionados or any very independent artistic music. Mm-hmm. And the audience that they have that come and watch is really amazing. They sit, they really appreciate the music, they watch it, they listen. And it's a small little club in a little forest with a little stream going next to it. Like, it's so cool. I'm so excited to play there again. So it's called the Red Horn District.
How did you get to play there?
I last year I did a little tour with a keyboard player who took us to that club, and that's when I did this Somewhere in the Darkness with them.
Okay. Yeah.
And I got a I got one of the songs that I could sing there on my own with the keys.
Yeah.
And then I really just connected with the owner, with everybody in the house. And I said, I really want to come and play in this place when I release my album.
Wow.
Yeah.
Fading Into You. It's also on the album, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And I watched you perform it, sing it, and then you dance.
Hmm.
And there's a part of African music in it as well.
Yes.
And I was wondering about that. What does it mean to you, African culture, African music? I mean, coming from South Africa.
Hmm.
How is it important for you?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I love it. I love all the world music.
Yeah.
Especially when it's... I am someone who's very high in openness, like any artist, really. That means that you're interested in different cultures, in things that are not necessarily easy for you to understand with your mind, but your spirit and your body understands it. So, of course, with regards to African music, the rhythm and the beat and the voices, and most important, I suppose, the freedom that the African culture still has, that sometimes us as what I would call us in the West, if we want to call it that, Western modern world, we've really put everything in boxes and we really like to understand everything with our intellect, with our mind, that we've lost the heartbeat.
Yeah.
So for me, African music really takes me back and reminds me of the heartbeat of being free and also being a child. Like, what do children do? They don't think, I'm going to write a song with a verse, and then the pre-chorus, and then a chorus. Like, they don't have that in their minds yet, that box, which isn't necessarily bad, but it is bad if it keeps you in the box.
That's
the
right.
The kid is just dancing and can do a song for 10 hours, and that's their track. It's like, why not?
Yeah.
So African music takes me there.
It's a constant struggle for me, I feel. I believe that being an artist helps me to break out of the boxes and the categories.
Mm, absolutely.
More and more.
Mm.
But it always happens again that I struggle to get over some barrier, some box barrier, you know, because I have that so deeply ingrained in my way of thinking.
Yeah.
Being a German, of course, and
a
European.
I think being a human.
Yeah, being a human.
I think from
yeah.
the fall of man, we got boxes.
It's true.
But we really want to go deep to it. We're eternal spiritual beings that's infinite in dimensions.
Yeah.
And everything became quite finite when death entered at the fall of man.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually not even got anything to do with your culture. So let's go back to the root.
You
it's
see
got,
that as a spiritual thing.
Yeah.
Yes. Like everything.
Yes.
Actually.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I get that. Yeah. You know, I was showing my paintings 2 days ago. In Bremen, northern part of Germany, and I totally get that. But when you show your pictures or whatever, you show your songs, people come over after a while and say, "Can you please just explain that to me? Because I don't get it." And I get that. Yeah, it would be totally easy to just experience the thing for yourself and go to your own feelings and thoughts and ideas, but there's the need of somebody explaining this to for me to really get it right in a way.
I suppose we all need a guide or a mentor or guides that take us by the hand and lead us. I mean, we're also called sheep for a reason.
Yeah, it's true.
As much as I sometimes really think, nah, I ain't no sheep. But
But I mean, what I see with you is that you took the courage to really walk your own way, to pioneering your own path in a way. You did that, right? You just had the freedom to explore and
Yes, I had that freedom and I had the opportunities too. So that's good. Mm-hmm. And at some points I was forced into it, mm-hmm. which I'm now glad for. But in the moments, for instance, the first time I had to play on the street,
yeah.
if I could choose, mm-hmm. I'd rather not.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so glad I didn't have that option.
Yes. Sometimes it's necessary, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I had the courage to walk. I mean, God knew exactly what he needed to put into me
yeah.
to walk the road that I'm still walking.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm still at you the do. Point of high courage. Like this whole album is, it's all or nothing for me right now. Everything's on the line.
Yeah.
And it's a huge test. The last few weeks has been difficult. After the recording, mm-hmm. you know, there's a little, you know, a whole tour with Marius Müller-Westernhagen,
yeah.
everything big and super shiny and awesome. Then
yeah.
flying to New York and recording with the Americans in Asbury Park. It was amazing. It was just a miracle recording. Sounded great. My songs just came out like, wow, that sounds even better than what I thought it would sound.
Mm-hmm.
And then coming back home, and then you have to go through the process of the mixing and the mastering and dealing with the invoices and the bills that are coming. And
not
all of my following is investing in this as
yeah.
I thought they would. All these things then come to
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
And then it's a little tough.
Mm-hmm.
So it's also now a time of being courageous.
Mm.
But Jörg's really encouraged me this last 2 days again.
Oh, good.
Just working on the album artwork and talking with you about it makes me, again, not have this tunnel vision of right now,
yeah.
but the bigger vision.
Yes.
And remembering the promises. He who promised is faithful. I mean, that's just the way it is. That's all I got to stand on. And keine Wendemöglichkeit.
Keine Wendemöglichkeit.
Genau.
Yeah, I get that.
Mm.
Yeah. But it takes courage, yes. Okay, let's not speak about the worst case. We just don't believe in that, right?
No, it's not even an option.
It will be great.
Yeah.
Everything will be great.
Yeah, it's
yes.
not. I mean, it's...
It will.
It
the story.
It is.
It is.
Yes. It
You're
is.
Right. That's
because we are already seated in heavenly places. Like, this is what we've got to realize. Do we believe what we believe?
Yeah, that's.
I mean, of course, we don't see it always.
Mm-hmm. True.
But that's why you've got to walk by faith and not by sight. And I'm preaching now because I'm preaching to myself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because this is not how I always feel when I wake up in the morning.
Everybody who's preaching is always preaching to
yourself. Yeah.
Always. Yes, but that's really a thing for me to be in the moment right now.
Mm.
I'm somebody who really lives in, you know, in a way of possibilities. I see possibilities and I like them. But it's very future wise, you know. In a way I have to learn to stay in the moment. And just what you said, it is good right now. Not it will be good someday because it's right now. It's
yeah, because otherwise it will be good.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a point in my life that there isn't something that you have to contend with and there isn't something to get in the future. So if you're not able to just also be dualistic, not dualistic, like both sides, mm-hmm. understanding, yes, there's more.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there's the struggle. Aber yes, jetzt wohne ich, jetzt bin ich hier, jetzt habe ich diese Leben, ist jetzt, heute, now, this moment.
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't have the joy,
yeah.
and it's always verschieben nach vorne,
yeah.
weißt du,
then, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
then you never have joy.
Yeah, 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 totally. Yeah. yeah, yeah. The story how you got to play with Marius.
Mm.
Ah,
we're going back to the start now.
I want to know.
Yeah.
How did you get to play with him and the band?
That's also a miracle. In September 2023, mm-hmm. I got an email, very short, from a woman called Lindiwe Müller-Westernhagen.
Okay.
And she just wrote the sentence like...
And you didn't know that name at all?
Nope.
No.
She just wrote the sentence like, hi, do you also, my husband, Marius Müller-Westernhagen, is looking for a percussionist for his tour next year. Do you also play percussion? Question mark. Next line, Lindiwe. So I figured, what do you mean also? But then I figured, okay, she probably saw my cajon videos.
Because that's what you're doing, right?
That's majority.
We didn't talk about that at all. But yeah.
That's the majority up until now, really. That's been the main thing in the public light.
Yes.
That I'm somehow, the biggest YouTube channel teaching people to play cajon. It's been there from the beginning of kind of the early stages of YouTube. So that's another story. But yeah, so she must have seen some of my cajon videos, I figured. And she wants to know if I play percussion, which I thought, yeah, but cajon is percussion. But I understood like percussion, like normal, regular percussion, congas, shakers, tambourines, bongos, all of this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And my first thought was like, oh, another email from some wife of some retired old man who has basically done an office job all his life, and now he wants to make his dreams of music come true, and he's going to ask me to tour with him for free.
Yes.
You know, while I'm basically, my whole life is based on music.
Yeah.
And but I thought there were two things that caught me. Lindiwe, her name is a South African name. I've never heard. Yeah, Lindiwe is a South African name, so that hit me. And then also the name, just the way that she phrased it, I'm the wife of Marius Müller-Westernhagen, and his name also jumped at me, Marius Müller-Westernhagen. Okay, let me just, before I just like ignore this message or write back and say, you know, sorry, I'm, you know, really busy at the moment. I'm not doing any collaborations. I checked it out. I Googled it.
Very smart.
And I I saw on the Wikipedia he had sold 12 million records. I instantly wrote back, yes, I do play percussion. That was the quickest and shortest email I wrote. I was really happy with that. And that's how it happened. And then she said, would you mind if my husband gave you a call? And I said, no problem. So I think within a day or two, I sent her my number, and I get this call from Marius Müller-Westernhagen, and we instantly have the deepest jump into a half an hour depth of conversation about looking at yourself in the mirror.
Really?
It was so hardcore because he's instantly like, I didn't know you live in Germany.
Yeah.
He'd seen me online, but he didn't know at this stage. Nobody really has been aware. I'm only starting to get back in the public eye now, but for a while I took time away and I didn't really make any public statements that I'm in Germany or that I'm living in Germany. I just disappeared nicely and slowly and easy.
Yeah.
So he didn't know. It's not been public knowledge to him yet. And he said, I didn't know you live in Germany. Why do you? Why are you living in Germany? And then I told him my story of going to the rehab and that I looked at myself in the mirror and I needed to clean things. And he loved it. He's a man of high depth, very intellectual, really humble, down to earth. And he loves this depth of really spiritual thinking too. And we had a deep conversation.
Wow.
And then he was like, I'd love to meet you. I know you can play. Don't bring instruments. Come and visit me and at my house in Berlin. We'll have a cup of coffee. And
don't bring instruments.
Yeah, he said, I don't need to see you play. I know you can play.
Okay.
I just want to meet you in person before I commit to having you on tour.
Yeah, great. Wow.
And I went and had a cup of coffee and a cake with him and his wife. It was really relaxed. And I made a conscious decision, you know, also what I'm wearing.
Yeah.
You know, at first you're thinking like, oh, I should wear something fancy or look really good. And I thought, no, Heidi, you'll be yourself. And I went completely in black, nothing fancy. You're going there to connect with another human being.
Yeah.
And for me, it was my number one prayer after this conversation was before I went to visit them, I went into the forest and I said, God, if you ask me, what do I want from this? You know, a lot of people will ask, I want the connections, I want this from them. I said, God, help me to serve them well. How can I be a friend to them? And that was important. I was surprised at my own heart in this moment. I don't want to brag about it, but I was like, oh, Heidi, you're so nice. You're not always so nice, but in this moment, you were very nice. And so I went there with that attitude of I'm here to serve and I'm, you know, you're you can be whoever you are in how many sales you made on the newsletters and on the big billboards, but you're a human and so am I. And you have a heart and we've had this deep conversation. So that was great. That I don't know, maybe I spoke too much. again.
No, I like that story. Yeah. It's a great story.
Yeah, and after half an hour of cup of coffee and tea, I gave them both hugs, and I felt so much love for them. I went there to love, not to get, and that's important. You have to go to give and to give value, and then, you know, what you sow, you will reap. Then the things come. And I got in the car, and it was 2 minutes, and I got a text message from Maria saying, I've just written an email to the production to send you the contract.
Wow.
Basically saying, yeah, it's on.
You're in.
So that was amazing.
Oh, great. Mm. But that's a really cool decision to just say, I want to be of service to the other person. I don't want to get something out of this for me. I go there,
yeah,
to, yeah, be of service in a way.
Yeah,
that's cool. I like that.
And it's wise. Everyone is always looking to get something.
Yes.
Especially from people in a high position.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
You know, this is just what you don't realize is this is the last. It's not going to work. You need to serve.
Yeah.
And if you serve well,
yeah,
then.
This is actually how I see making art.
Yeah,
it's a kind of service for others, really, and it's in the Bible language. There's this talk of charisma, right? It's called grace or whatever, the gifts of grace. And it's also in German, it's Zuwendung. I don't know what that is in English. Zuwendung, that is when somebody, really sees you and, is there for you. Yeah. I'm, ich wende mich dir zu, is I'm really looking at you. And I'm there for you right now. And this is a possible translation for this charisma or charismata, these gifts of grace of God. And I was thinking that this is a very good definition of making art in a way. You give other people something from yourself, as authentic as possible.
Yeah.
And it's not there to make yourself bigger,
yeah,
but it's there to help the community you're serving,
yeah,
with this.
It's all about the motive.
Yeah.
Do you really lay down your life for others?
Like, yeah,
you know, this is our,
yeah,
example and our hero.
Yeah.
So it's always about motive. And it's hard, eh? Like, I don't get it right. Like, also in the social media age, how many times you're like, I need to put up content because I need to remain relevant.
It's true.
That's a very bad motive to have, the motive behind,
yeah,
it. It should be, I want to create this amazing video because I believe that it will bring life to somebody that when I put it up. It's a very different angle.
It's very different.
Very different angle.
Yeah. But almost counterintuitive, because social media works like that you put out content because you need to happen in a way.
It could work like that, but it could also just work that you're putting something out. I mean, of course it's set up like that, the system.
It is, yes.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but that doesn't mean that you could still serve within the system in a way.
It's true. You know, you can subvert it in a way.
Like, for instance, I'm definitely not okay to say all my videos are posted up just because of the same motive as social media.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them are, and I wouldn't say all of them at all, I have to be honest, but a lot of them are put up because I really believe that they're going to bring something to someone. They will be of use. So the cajon lessons.
That's good. I like that. Yeah. That's really good.
I mean, it's a great way to be able to serve and reach someone on the other side of the world who can, for instance, the cajon lessons. Like,
yeah,
people have learned from my lessons. How cool is that, actually? I have,
you know, seeing it like that, actually, doing social media could be fun after all.
Exactly. The problem is to retain that.
I start to hate it.
Genau.
I really have to do it because it's my profession, right?
Yeah.
I have to tell people about the things I do because I just have to. They need to know this.
Yeah.
But doing it like that could be really more fun.
Yeah, and while you have to do it anyway, you might as well do it the fun way.
True. That's right.
I mean, I'm again preaching to myself.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's the everyday struggle too.
Yeah. I know what you mean. Jörg told me that Marius told him that you while performing for Marius, were singing in tongues. Is that right?
Do you do that sometimes?
Yes, I do. I do.
Really?
Yeah. I did it on Freiheit because there was a free flow part at the end of Freiheit, which is actually captured on the album. because he did this extra part where he sings Freiheit like normal at the end of the show.
Yep.
And then we finish it. And then comes this gospel part of just vocals and tambourine.
Okay, yeah.
For a while. And then all the backing vocalists, of which I was one of them, gets a chance to have a few bars of free flow improvisation. And in this point, I am like singing in my spiritual language.
Is it very natural for
you
to do that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's also... Yeah.
It just happens.
I have a bunch of that happening all over the album as well,
okay,
in some of the songs.
Yeah.
And trying to write it down in lyric form was like, no. Okay.
How do you do that?
So no, we just called it something else, just like free flow vocals is what we call it.
Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, I did that, and it was so funny. Marius calls me. I'm in the recording studio in the U.S., and he calls me, and he's like, girl, what are you doing here at the end of Freiheit? You're singing in tongues.
He knew what that is, really?
That's what he said to me.
He somehow knew that, right?
Yeah, he knows a lot more than you think. Yeah, he loved it. He sent me a cutout clip of just my little vocal phrase. He's like, dude, this was crazy what you did here. He loved it.
Yeah.
But I think that's exactly what he wanted also in Freiheit. And it is Freiheit. When you're singing there is no boxes in this spiritual language. You're free. It's the Freiheit gospel vibes at the end. And that's kind of what he wanted and meant in this particular arrangement for the live tour.
Mm-hmm.
I think he seemed happy with it, and I was completely blessed by that. So
yeah.
I'm happy that he's
great.
Happy. That's important for me. So, yeah.
Okay, one last question. We said it's good to be in the moment, but this is the start of a new year.
Oh, yes.
25.
Mm.
What do you expect?
Double restoration, double gold.
Okay.
Okay, those are just like two words. I have these words that I get for every year, or a kind of sentence that I really feel is a promise from God to me. So that's in an overall nutshell. But what I expect, or what I'm aiming for, or what I'd like to do, of course, the release of the album, which is pretty much happening within the next few weeks. Tours and shows. Next things has to happen is to really find the right divinely ordained people in the industry for taking it further now in a live sense, so booking-wise, sorting out the label stuff with releases online, so everything that you need to do as an artist, and playing a lot of live shows, very important for me.
Yeah.
I would love to do a bit of a tour in the US and in Europe this year. Let's see how that goes, even if I have to do it independently for a while until everything gets set. And then, of course, my cajon. I've just finished my cajon method. So I have an entire method, like a curriculum, step by step, starting from zero to hero, how to play the cajon.
Is it on video or
also
written down? Also
written in notation.
Oh,
so I'd love to publish the book.
Mm.
And I'm actually having in my mind to see if I could get the curriculum in some universities, some schools, maybe at the Berkeley. Let's see. I have a lot of ideas for this.
Really
maybe
cool.
Create an app for it. So that's another business on the side. And of course, I also have my own brand of cajons. So creating a few more different models this year for that, which is also part of the merch. So there's all these little different things that has to happen. And spending time really this year making sure I do some personal adventures, because I work a lot, and because my life is great, I don't feel like I need holidays.
Yeah.
But I need to get out in nature.
I totally know what you mean.
I need to go out hiking, hunting, I don't know, camping, go see the Northern Lights. So I need to intentionally plan 2 or 3 trips into the wild.
Preach it.
That's important.
That's my life too, yeah.
Yeah.
I do what I love, you know.
Yeah.
And that means I do it all the time. So
yeah, because you don't feel like, okay, I'm a normal person that needs a holiday.
Right.
But you need to get out in the nature.
Yes,
like,
totally.
This is part of your inspiration as an artist.
Yeah. Yeah,
go
absolutely.
Out. So
yeah, great.
So everybody go out into the nature this year, get some fresh tree air. Das ist die schöne Bäume.
Bäume.
Bäume. Yeah. Oh, and I have to become a German citizen this year. I have to apply for this.
Really?
Yeah.
Ah, that's great.
That means I need to get B1.
I don't know.
Yeah, which is like I have to get the German language down.
Okay.
So vielleicht nächstes Mal sprechen wir in Deutsch.
Das wollte ich gerade sagen.
Ja. Yeah.
Das
genau.
Nächste Mal machen wir dann Deutsch.
Genau.
How can we follow you? Your Instagram handle is Heidi Joubert Cajon.
Yes. Heidi Joubert Cajon.
Joubert, genau. That's Joubert.
Mm-hmm. And
yes.
Cajon is Cajon.
Thank you.
Because not everyone gets it.
And there's another way of following you or, you know.
Yeah, the best way, honestly, the best way, because everything is kind of everywhere, I'm also setting up my artist website, is to sign up to my newsletter.
Mm. Yes.
Is I write a personal newsletter every month, which, yeah, if you like what I do, you'll find out about it, but also a little bit of my personal experience, where I'm at, what I'm feeling in the moment. And that's, you can sign up at my Cajon website,
okay,
which is called cajonbox.com.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will write it down in the show notes.
Yeah, that's great. Put it down there. And of course, Facebook as well, but the website, and then still working on my artist website, heidijoubert.com, which needs to also be done within the next few weeks.
So, great.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
Heidi, thank you for this talk. It was really cool.
Yeah, thank you very much for your time and your attentive, awesome questions. I loved it.
Oh, good. We have a ritual in this show.
Mm-hmm.
One is asking, was sagen wir dem Tod? That's from Game of Thrones.
Oh, wow.
And the answer is, nicht heute.
Ah.
Would you like to do that with me?
Yes.
Ich frage die Frage. Und du antwortest auf Deutsch.
Genau, alles gut.
Was sagen wir dem Tod?
Nicht heute.
Very good. Dankeschön.
Dankeschön, Adi. Ciao.
Vielen Dank, dass du zugehört hast. Wir hoffen, dass es dir gefallen hat. Wenn du uns ein bisschen helfen möchtest, dann kannst du diese Folge in den sozialen Netzwerken teilen. Twitter, Facebook, du weißt schon. Oder vielleicht schreibst du uns sogar eine Rezension bei iTunes. Das würde auch sehr helfen. Und wenn du uns so richtig doll helfen möchtest, dann kannst du über eine finanzielle Unterstützung nachdenken. Du findest auf cobainserben.de raus, wie das geht. Hoffentlich bist du das nächste Mal wieder dabei. Wir würden uns total freuen. Bis dahin, mach's gut. Tschüss.